Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Today I talked to Tyler Livingstone and Karen Allen of Royal City Musical Productions, Inc. Now in its 40th year, RCMPI has just recently completed its fall show, the performance of the Broadway classic Annie. But between the company's two shows is all the hard work of auditioning, staging, rehearsing, preparing, and fundraising for that next production. So how do they do it? A peek behind the curtain is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Back in 1978, a group of local lovers of the stage decided that Guelph needed a musical theater company. Their goal was to bring a touch of the Great White Way to the Royal City, or to quote the RCMPI website, "The objectives of the company are to provide high-caliber entertainment to the citizens of Guelph and area through the presentation of Broadway-style musicals, and to provide a forum through which amateur actors, singers, dancers, and technicians can express themselves through participation in a community theater company." 40 years later, RCMPI still delivers two times a year, and they deliver as a volunteer organization. All the actors you see, all the set builders and designers, all the musicians and choreographers, all the costumers, and even the very people that run the organization on the board are doing so purely because of their dedication to the musical theater art form. Over the decades, RCMPI has brought all sorts of musicals to Guelph theater nerds, from classics like Oklahoma and The Sound of Music to modern hits like Spamalot and Shrek the Musical. Next up for them is Stephen Sondheim's Ode to Murder and Cannibalism, Sweeney Todd. Like many arts organizations in Guelph, the RCMPI is run by a board of directors, a small and dedicated group that know their organization inside and out. You'll hear from two such people today as they take you behind the scenes of Royal City Musical Productions and explain how it all comes together. Tyler Livingstone is the current treasurer of the RCMPI board, and Karen Allen has held many roles in the organization, seeing as how her involvement in the company goes back to just a few years after it got started. So on this edition of the Guelph Politicast, Livingstone and Allen talk about how RCMPI decides to stage the musicals they do, how they balance various demands, and why they settled on the two very desperate productions in the form of Annie and Sweeney Todd for their 40th anniversary. They also talk about how much time, effort, and energy goes into making each musical, what their challenges are, and what all goes into staging a musical beyond just some people who can sing. We also talk about where musical theater ranks in the Guelph art scene and what draws so many people in town to make their world a stage, which I realize is a Shakespeare quote, and he didn't do musicals, so don't bother pointing that out. So I caught up with Tyler Livingstone and Karen Allen last week in studio.
Hey, I'm Tyler from Royal City Musical Productions. I am I sit on the board of directors as treasurer. And I'm also the production coordinator for our very first youth production coming up in March. And I'm also directing our fall show in 2019, which is Mamma Mia. All
right. Yes, and I'm Karen Allen, and I have been involved with the company since 1982, on and off, long time. I am past president, and currently I will be directing the youth show that is new for our RCMPI, and we're doing Aladdin Junior in March.
So it's interesting having you here, Karen, because you were almost there from the beginning.
Almost, yes. Yeah, so. Yes, that's very true. We have seen a lot of members, you know, come and go over that time, and some are still with us, some have passed on, and it's been quite a journey in that, how many years?
40. Yeah. 40. 40th years. Anniversary.
Yes. Yeah. But I haven't been involved 40 years.
No.
Pretty near, but not quite.
Has there been, like, have you taken, like, breaks? Or is that,
yes.
Like...
Yes. Yes. I took breaks to have a child. I took breaks to work with other theater companies. I took breaks to work with just straight theater,
mm-hmm.
which is theater without music.
Yes, not as in no, LGBT.
No, just, no, no. And, you know, just to pursue other things, and then came back to it. I think I was trying to think about this the other day, and I think it was 2000. And, well, I came back on the board 2007.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are coming in today, having just finished the fall show, mm-hmm. Annie. So, what is this time like for you guys? Like, is it like I'm exhausted? It's over. It's done. I want to take a break.
Yes, or pretty much.
Pretty much.
I think that it's such a long build up getting into the theater. Like, you're starting. Like, auditions are in May. Before mm-hmm. that, you're like putting together a production team. Like, so it's about a year to get everything together, and then with auditions in May, and then September comes rehearsals, and then mm-hmm. November, and then we load into the theater, run the show, and we're done in a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everyone is
yeah
done, but then at the same time, they're like, okay, what's next?
You're right back into a new production because we'll be auditioning next weekend for Aladdin Jr., and mm-hmm. the weekend after that for Sweeney Todd. So yeah. It keeps going. it doesn't seem to be a lot of break. Summertime is a break. Mm-hmm. But other than that, if you are working on committees and the board, you are working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just when the show closes, but continuing to maintain the company.
Mm-hmm.
So now that the show's done, we'll be recapping like how it did financially, which it did really well. We're really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And
beautiful show.
Yeah. And then we'll be planning like our budget for next year and getting all that kind of stuff sorted out before we move mm-hmm. into spending mm-hmm. money for Sweeney Todd, Aladdin, and Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about how this endeavor is organized, because, you know, this is the 40th anniversary, and for it you chose Annie, a nice family-friendly musical. A lot of people know the songs because they've seen the movie or seen the show at some point. And then in the winter, or I guess in the spring, we're going to be mm-hmm. doing Sweeney Todd, which not as well known, but it's, you know,
a bit of a dichotomy there.
Yeah, about, you know, murder and cannibalism and
yeah, all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. But, you know, what? First of all, how do you choose the shows? And second of all, why those two shows for the 40th anniversary?
Oh, well, we have a committee, and Karen led that committee for quite a long time, so she can explain.
Okay, so what happens is we put out a call for proposals, and we ask prospective directors to submit an idea, and then all directors actually get to be interviewed, unless the show in front of us is, we know that it is going to be produced by another company that is close by, or that's pretty much the only stipulation.
If it's like, there's the odd case where it's like too small, like, because we are theater group, we try to keep shows that have.
If it was something like last 5 years with a cast of two, we probably wouldn't consider it because it's not community oriented.
Mm.
So all those proposals come in, and
so bigger is better.
Well, yeah.
Our main stage show in the fall, like, we like 50 to 75, 80-ish people. And then our spring show, because it's in a smaller theater, mm-hmm. usually it caps out around 30.
30, mm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So then we interview all the prospective directors, and we have a committee. Any committee member that is also on a proposal obviously is excused from the interview process and all the decision making. And then we listen, we talk afterwards, we kind of decide, we haggle, we look at the merits of one over the other, we sort of think, what's the best fit for the company, how is this going to work for us, do you like this idea, do you like that idea, and then finally, and I say finally, we come up with a recommendation for the fall and the spring. Now, this is only a recommendation because now it has to go to the board, where another, how many people on the board? 10 people. Another 10 people take a look at our recommendation and say yes or no.
Mm.
And then that's how the shows get decided. So it's a whole process, and we do this every year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
it works. Takes about what, 4 months? It starts in June and
yes.
wraps up around September, October.
Yes,
yeah.
Mm. Yes,
4 or 5 months.
Yep.
So you have your eyes on other area theater companies who are doing, so there's like theatrical espionage afoot.
It's
not so much.
Not really. Good way to put it.
We all borrow and share like sets and costumes
okay.
and props
uh-huh.
and like try uh-huh. to find efficiencies between ourselves. But uh-huh. like we also try to like keep each other apprised of what we're doing so that
yeah.
we're not stepping on each other's toes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's just best practice we've
yeah.
had. Because like yeah. we don't really compete with another theater group. It's just that like if something was going on in Kitchener because it's
right.
so close, we wouldn't want to, because it isn't even so much the audience, but like we draw similar like cast members and crew members.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
like we want to make sure people have like, you know,
yeah.
some differences between the groups. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I went to Globe in Georgetown, lovely theater and wonderful theater company, because of what they were doing. As opposed to what we were doing at the time. And I was not involved in the board. I was just a company member who happened to be on stage at that time. And they actually were doing Sound of Music and Annie, funnily enough. And those were the productions that I were in for them. But it's always good to sort of explore and look at how other theater companies are working and what works for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I was president of the company, I met with the president of KW, their musical production company, and, you know, asked them what worked for them, what didn't, how did they handle this or that. And we have a really good working relationship with all the theater companies in the vicinity.
I'd like to hope so, yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
So that leads us to the question of, for the 40th, why Annie? Why Sweeney Todd? What was it about those that
well,
won?
Well, we kicked off this 40th anniversary season in September with like a celebration that kind of reflected on where we've been and where we're going. So Annie is a show we first did in 1994, before the River Run was built.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it was never presented at the run, so we thought that would be a great way to kind of bring that show back to the community and kind of reflect on
mm-hmm.
on shows that we've done in the past. And then Sweeney Todd is something that we have never done, but it's such an iconic piece of musical theater. It seemed like it was something we needed to
mm-hmm.
do. I mean, it is probably Sondheim's. It's the show that he thinks is his masterpiece,
right? Mm-hmm. Right.
So definitely something that there was a lot of appetite in our membership to mount.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we haven't done a lot of Sondheim. We did Into the Woods, and I think
that was it.
Yeah.
And it certainly has its challenges, that's for sure. But that's kind of one of the things that makes it exciting to do.
Before the River Run was built, where was the performances done?
John Eppeross.
What? the theater there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Why is that funny?
It's funny because at that time we had no flies, no dressing rooms, none of the niceties that we have now. And so we were relegated to the upstairs hall in the school to change and do our makeup. We were pushing on and off sets, and backstage
yeah.
was chaotic. And
like all the sets had to clear the stage
right.
for class
yes.
the next day.
Yes.
So like we were taking it off and building it again the next night.
Wow.
So. No mics. No mics
oh, okay.
at all. Yeah, it was very, if you want to call it primitive, it was something.
We've come a long way.
Certainly, yeah, we have.
Certainly grounds you in the fundamentals.
Yes, it does.
Where does the theater scene in Guelph sort of fit in with the broader art scene? I mean, we have a very vibrant art scene
mm-hmm.
here. We have, you know, with the music and with studio art and that kind of thing. But where does, I feel like the theatrical part of this is, I don't want to say that, you know, it sort of comes up at the in the end of the line, because certainly, you know, 40 years is not, you know, certainly you guys are part of the fabric of the mm-hmm. of the Guelph art scene, but, you know, you have the Ward 1-1 acts that have come up in the last couple of years, and the downtown theater project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, where do you guys fit in to the art scene? And are you maybe fitting in?
I think that our niche is very specific. It's Broadway style musical theater. Mm-hmm. It's big. It's expensive. It takes a lot of resources. No one else does it in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
We're not putting on things as frequent as some of those other groups are. And those other groups do a great job at what they do. DTP having just launched their, you know, they're working with 4 or 5 people.
Yeah.
GLT, mm-hmm. 10 to 12 in a cast. We just did Annie with 60. Before that,
plus
Shrek with
orchestra.
65. Yeah.
And all of that.
Yeah, a 13-piece orchestra in Annie. So yeah. It's just one of those things where we're really the only group that comes into the River Run and utilizes it to its fullest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive, too, mm-hmm. to put on musicals. I mean, if we could, we probably would do more, but it is very expensive.
Well, and we're starting. Like, this is our first year with the... We're, as part of our 40th anniversary, we're launching the youth production, which we're hoping to carry on moving forward. We'll see how it goes in March, and hopefully it's something we can do every year.
Mm-hmm. So where do all the people who take part come from? Where do you, like, it's not just actors, it's you know, craftspeople, people who build a set, and, mm-hmm. and I think his name's Jason, mm-hmm. Who builds the set.
Wonderful.
He's very active on social media in terms of showing how that all comes together. Mm-hmm. So how do you know, in terms of the average, I don't know if there's an average person involved in Royal City Musical Productions, but, you know, talk a bit about the community that takes part.
Most people are Guelph-based, but there are quite a few. There's more people than you'd think that travel from outside of the city.
Yeah.
KW, big draw, like Fergus, Elora, Elmira area, and then towards, like, Georgetown, Halton Hills, and then even sometimes it's like Ancaster, Brantford, Hamilton, sometimes Toronto, sometimes London. It kind of depends on what we're doing and what draws people out to participate. But like, for the most part, we're pretty Guelph based.
Yeah, I think if anyone wants to get involved, they get in touch with the company, and then they. We go from there. Jason has built a number of sets for us. We have a number of people who typically get involved almost every year with the production in some aspect, especially behind the scenes with painting, set painting, you know, building, that kind of thing. So,
there's a lot of man hours that go into
the
show.
There's a lot of man hours. Yeah.
Ballpark it.
I don't have to. It's just over 28,000 for a fall show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's that paints a picture.
I've done all this.
Well, you are the treasure. You're the number one. Is there anything that in terms of productions that you wouldn't do? I mean, we talked about it can be big, but not too big, but, you know, not, you know, something like Waiting for Godot or something. Where
we wouldn't do Waiting for Godot because it's not a musical.
If they created a musical version.
Oh, sure. We
why not?
That. Yeah.
But, you know, something that's, like, small like that, that's a couple of people. So that's the range we're talking about. But
we have done small things before. We've had groups come to us and say, we have this small production of, what was the last one?
Nonsense.
Which is four or five people. And we put it on as like an additional show, and it did terrific. So if someone were to ever come to us with a proposal, it's just that mounting a proposal or mounting a show in the River Run specifically and utilizing that facility, you have to be able to reach a certain amount of ticket sales in order to justify doing it there. But there are other great spaces in the city to mount theater. We've looked at lots of locations Kind of do, I don't know if you'd call it like pop-up theater, but essentially utilize a location and bring in everything that you need to put on something like that.
In terms of shows that we wouldn't do, well, there are licensing restrictions for certain shows, so we can't do them. Like Wicked, I don't think rights are available for that. Phantom rights are available, but...
Hit and miss.
There you go with a show that's, yes, hit and miss. Sometimes you apply for them and they say yes. Sometimes they say no. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to look at the technical requirements of a show like that and say, can we handle that? Could we do the show justice? I mean, we might be able to do the show, but is it going to be a good production?
Yeah. Are you going to do it and do it right?
Yeah.
Weird that they're so protective of Phantom. I thought Gerard Butler... versified that, but that's...
I think rights are available now.
It all depends on where it's being produced in the world. Mm-hmm. It's still running in the West End for sure. Yeah. On Broadway, it was closing, but I don't know if it actually got
The problem
got
with any Andrew Lloyd Webber is now it goes to his own company. It used to be run by, or you used to get the rights through Musical Theater, MTI.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yes, R&H, right, yeah. Right. But now, no. And so you have to, you have to go through his company, and it can be a pain.
So politics is politics.
Yeah.
Even in the musical theater business. How about an original musical?
We've had proposals for original musicals before. Once again, it's that barrier of, like, one of the things that we rely on in getting bums in seats is name recognition.
Right.
Not to say that we wouldn't take a risk on something, but the confluence would have to be right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it would have to be good.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yes. I think Tyler hit the nail on the head there, because you want to make sure that the show is polished and that we're not a vehicle to workshop.
Right.
A production, because that's not what we're.
That's not what we do. There are groups that do that.
Right.
We don't do that.
Yeah. That's what fringe festivals are for. And Guelph has like a burgeoning fringe festival. So that's kind of, I think, where we would say, hey, we could put you in touch with people who could help you get it to that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, workshopping a musical is really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. What it sounds like is, though, that it's not just a matter of me saying, like, hey, let's do Cats. That's my proposal. Let's do Cats. It's a matter of, like, you have to know theater, and this is sort of where an interesting place where you guys are, where you're a community group, and this is true of a lot of Guelph sort of arts groups, is that you're in this field where it's like it's a community group, but in it are like very serious artists who are taking their craft very seriously, but at the same time you have to sort of be open to people who are interested in getting involved and wanting to try it, and it's an interesting place to be in Guelph, in terms of where this, where we are with the art sometimes.
It is, sure. When you do a proposal up, you're absolutely right. You have to have some idea of your theater, like your theater knowledge. Because what we'll ask is, what does your production of Cats look like? It's not just a matter of saying, hey, look, I'd like to direct Cats.
They're in morph suits the whole time.
Yeah, like
they do lots of dancing. Yes, we know, but what is your
vision of this? What do you think of it? What are the ideas? What are the influences in your production?
Right, how
did you come about thinking of that? It goes way beyond just, hey, I want to do Cats.
Right.
Meow.
Let's do Cats, but they're in dog suits. It'll be super
that's
weird.
My idea.
Yeah.
People
love to see
would
that.
Protest.
You're probably right. That is one of those musicals that people you don't want to anger the base on that one. Can you talk a little bit about how RCMPI is supported, because this isn't just a matter of, putting on the show and counting the ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are in the mall before a show. I think for Shrek, there was like a breakfast with Shrek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did one for Annie, too.
Okay. So I want to talk a bit about, this isn't just about the show, that there is so, that there's so much that goes into, you know, making the show that has nothing to do with, you know, resting your voice the night before and you know, the rehearsals and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we're a charitable organization. We're part of our mandate is not only just to produce high quality experiences for our participants and high quality theater for the community, but to do those things in a very accessible, mm-hmm. community-minded way. And that means that we can't, unfortunately, put the cost of what it actually takes to mm-hmm. mount the theater production on the ticket itself. So yeah. we're, you know what I mean? Because no one would be able to afford to come.
Right.
So we have to fundraise. We have to write grant applications. We have to build community partnerships. We have to get sponsorships to make all of those things happen. Ticket sales cover about 65% of our operating costs.
That's not bad, mm-hmm. though.
No, it's not bad at all, but that's still 45% that we right, have to
yeah.
make up.
But that's still also outside the 28,000 hours, the aforementioned 28,000
right.
hours
right.
to stage the show.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And yeah. and that's the other thing. There's this huge, there's a huge, like, human capital requirement to putting on a show. Like, not only are you there's the things that I think that everyone realizes are obvious, the, you know, building the set, painting the set. But, like, before you get to that point, it's designing the
designing
set.
It.
Before you get to designing the set, mm-hmm. it's meeting with the technical director and saying, okay, what flies do I have available? What do you have on LX4s? Mm-hmm. What can we strip this fly? Can we move this, you know, drape from here to here
right.
to accommodate the, you know, barn that I want to hang from right. the ceiling?
yeah.
Done that.
are we allowed to come in through this entrance? Can
yeah.
we can we utilize this apparatus that's in the theater? Like
exactly.
all of the considerations.
And then same thing with like costumes. It's not just you know, going to the thrift store and finding whatever you can find. It's measuring people. It's designing mm-hmm. them. It's sewing them together piece by piece.
It's looking at the set, looking at the costumes. Does that go
together?
Well,
yeah.
together. Does it make a nice picture on mm-hmm. stage? So there's a lot of...
And you can't go to the thrift store for something like Zeusicle.
No, exactly.
yeah.
Yeah, and I'll,
well,
like,
feathers.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I mean, I you would be tough-pressed to find a show that we haven't been to a thrift store for.
right.
but, yeah, there's just so much mm-hmm. that goes in. And that's just the show. Running the company is a completely different kettle of fish.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. It goes way beyond just the show.
Just things like we have a build space and a storage space that we have to maintain, and we're entirely volunteer run. We do not mm-hmm. pay. We don't
right.
employ anyone.
Right.
Everybody's taking time.
I mean,
out
hydro
of their...
bills have to be paid.
Yeah.
all of that stuff has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It's a big job.
Yeah. That's the idea we're selling here today, mm-hmm. I think. But, let's talk about you two. How did you get involved? Why did you want to be involved? And, you know, what? How did you become members of this company and take the leadership roles in it?
Well, I moved...
Not ready to talk about ourselves.
That's weird.
I moved to Guelph in 2010. And I was involved in theater before moving to Guelph. And then I, you know, it's... Our... theater group is not just a theater group, it's like a community.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved to Guelph, I was really missing that. Sort of people who like to get out and do the same kind of thing mm-hmm. that I want to do. So I looked for a theater group and got involved and auditioned for a show and
got in.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm. yep. Okay, so I actually graduated from Guelph mm-hmm. with a music degree.
Okay.
And I went to Teachers College, came back to the city, and saw an ad in the paper. They had ads in the paper at that time to audition, and I thought, hey, that seems like fun. So I auditioned. I got in. And
here we are.
And here we are, yeah.
Several years later.
Several years later, and after a long time, somebody asked me if I would be interested in sitting on the board, and I hadn't really thought about it until 2000 and 7, I guess. And it hadn't, before that, it hadn't been something that I thought I'd be interested in. Mm. But then I thought, yeah, sure. Like, let's find out how this thing really, really goes. And, yeah, that's how I got involved and got directing and acting and musical direction and so it goes.
So what is it about the musical theater experience? This is how you connect with community. You move from somewhere where you were part of a community and then you had to find a new community. And you just sort of, you know, you had a musical background, but, mm-hmm. you know, on a whim. You know, and it's become your life.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about the theatrical experience?
In Karen's case, it's not just like community. It's a family thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Her sister is the president of the company. Her daughter's choreographed. Her husband sat on the board for a while.
Like my brother-in-law.
Yeah, your brother-in-law has been
involved
in several
my
shows.
My nephew has been involved. It really is a family thing.
So, yeah,
I think that's it. It's family. Mm. It goes beyond your immediate family, and the company is your extended family. Mm. And that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
So you stick with it because of that. And you've made amazing friends and met some wonderful people along the way. And
you find your people.
Yeah, you do. I was involved in one of the first curtain call productions, actually, here at the university. And so that was kind of fun. I was musical director for one of those. So it was interesting.
What was the show?
It was a parody of Fiddler on the Roof. And back then,
of course it was.
Back then we had...
That just has University of Guelph written all over it.
I know. Because I think now you do the regular shows, but
right.
back then we did parodies, and they handed me a piano score and said, here, orchestrate this. So I did, actually, and I got credit for it. So it was okay. So that was kind of fun. And so I went on to do real stuff after that.
I know the company did Fiddler a couple of years ago. Were you involved in that?
Yeah.
She was the musical director.
You were the musical.
Yeah.
So you had to unlearn from the parody.
Well, yes. I had to unlearn on my own orchestration and look at what was really written there. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you guys could talk about theater and all day. But maybe to wrap up, you talked about the tremendous investment of money and time. So if you have any suggestions about if people hear this and may want to help you out and maybe want to help out with Sweeney Todd coming up or any future RCMPI things.
Yeah. If you want to audition if you have a kid who wants to audition, we're looking for kids, grades 4 to 8. We have auditions coming up next
on Sunday.
If you're interested in that,
December 2nd,
you can go to our website, rcmpi.ca, and sign up there. And then the weekend after, December 7th, 8th, and 9th, we have auditions for Sweeney Todd, looking for a little bit older than grades 4 to 8. but once again, feel free, you can sign up on our website. And then we'll be auditioning for Mamma Mia. I would think sometime mid-May, hopefully before the Victoria Long weekend. And auditions for that will probably go up towards the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you're interested in doing something else beside auditioning, we have a contact form on your website. If you are interested in making a donation, we really appreciate any financial support the community has to give. We started a new fund this year to help support our youth initiative. So our goal is to raise $10,000. Mm-hmm. We're about 80% of the way there to support that fund. And if you're interested in contributing to that, once again, rcmpi.ca, and all of the info is online.
I think one of the things, too, with the company is we're really interested in fostering youth who have an interest in theater and would like to learn the craft. Mm-hmm. We do have some people who have gone on to professional theater from, you know, their start in our company. So we kind of like to mentor those kids that have that interest and drive and help them, you know, with those goals. So it's very interesting.
Well, Tyler and Karen, thank you so much for sharing your passion today, and here's to another 40 years of RCMPI. But thanks for coming in and talking to me today.
Thank you
for having us.
And once again, that was Tyler Livingstone and Karen Allen. The next RCMPI production is Disney's Aladdin Jr., which will open on March 1st at the Guelph Little Theater on Morris Street. After that, Sweeney Todd will open on April 25th at the Cooperatives Hall at the River Run Center. For more information about how to get involved with Royal City Musical Productions, or if you'd like to assist them in their theatrical efforts, you can get more information at rcmpi.ca. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can check out the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph, and you can help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph by considering a donation to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. For all the latest local political news, go to guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly, and until then, see you next time.